ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Texts 31 and 32, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Brahmanya Shila Sampanna, Satya Sandho Jitendriya, Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam, Eka Priya Suhrittamaha, Dasavat Sannatariyanghri, Pitrivat Dinavat Salaha, Bhratrivat Sadrishai Snigdho, Guru Shvishvara Bhavanaha, Vidyartha Rupa Janmadhyo, Manastambha Vivarjitaha. Brahmanya Shila Sampanna, Satya Sandho Jitendriya, Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam, Eka Priya Suhrittamaha, Dasavat Sannatariyanghri, Pitrivat Dinavat Salaha, Bhratrivat Sadrishai Snigdho, Guru Shvishvara Bhavanaha, Vidyartha Rupa Janmadhyo, Manastambha Vivarjitaha. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlada, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the Absolute Truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the Super Soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother, and he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older godbrothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Purport. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Shamo damastapah shaucham kshantir arjavam evacha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnava is also a perfect Brahmana, as indicated here by the words Brahmanya Shila Sampanaha. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the Absolute Truth. And to understand the Absolute Truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way. dhira dhira, dhira dhira janapriyau. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnav must be equal to everyone regardless of one's position. Atmavat. A Vaishnav should be like the Paramatma. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridyeshe juna tishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a Chandala, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Shri Bhagavan Mantropadeshake Guravityartha. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Then why do we give Brahminical initiation to Vaishnavas if they're already Brahmanas? Now, Prahlad Maharaj is born in a family of demons. Prahladas chasmi daityanam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Among the demons, I am represented by Prahlad. But it's also mentioned here, Brahmanya Shila Sampanna. He's all the qualities of a Brahmana. So who's a Brahmana? Prahlad is a demon or a Brahmana or what's going on here? Of course, the demons may be also born in families of Brahmanas. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad, was born from one of the most famous Brahmanas. There's no discipline for these boys. They just wander around as they like. Two other boys just wandered out. Similarly, Ravana and Kumbhakarna are born of Brahmins. So it's not that, sir, this idea of Brahmin by birth. Some demoniac people can be Brahmin by birth also. In fact, Shastra states that Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayante Brahmayonesha. In Kali Yuga, so many Rakshasas will take birth in Brahmana families. So who's actually a Brahmana? Who has these qualities? Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, straightforwardness, knowledge, which means knowledge of Shastra, material knowledge and materialistic knowledge that's taught in the colleges and schools, and vijnanam, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are qualities of a Brahmana. A Vaishnava automatically has these qualities. If we think I am a Vaishnava, then we can judge ourselves if we have these qualities. Of course, a demon always thinks he's decorated with good qualities, even if he's not. So someone thinks I'm a Vaishnava. Well, that's a disqualification. Amito Vaishnava, e buddhi hoile amani na hovani. Pratishtasha ashi hridoy dushibe hoibo niroigami. If I think that I am a Vaishnava, if I rate myself as a Vaishnava, then I'll become proud. I will be proud to think I am a Vaishnava. Then the desire to be respected will enter my heart, contaminate it, and I'll become a candidate for going to hell. So awarding Brahminical initiation to Vaishnavas, in one sense, has no meaning. If one's actually a Vaishnava, then what's the need to be a Brahmin? Well, it's a recognition that someone's at least seriously trying to be a Vaishnava. Actually, the standards for Brahminical initiation should be much, much higher, because we want to establish the Varnashram system headed by the Brahmanas. They should be highly qualified. But generally we're awarding Brahminical initiation to those highly qualified. Means the highest qualification is to dedicate oneself in the service of Krishna. But then Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, even lower than Shudra by karma, can be fully dedicated to the service of Krishna. So when we say that when Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a class of brahmanas, it means they're actually, apart from their service attitude to Krishna, which makes them better than a brahmana, but they should actually be well learned in Shastra, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmana, Vidya Vinaya, they should be have knowledge and humility. Generally people become puffed up if they have some knowledge, but the symptom of someone who actually has knowledge is Vidya Dadati Vinaya, one becomes humble by giving knowledge. And we actually see that in some traditional Vaishnavas, I mean born into Vaishnava Brahmana families, and actually very, very qualified, but also very, very humble. It's not a common combination, but it's a very pleasing combination. It's the sign that someone's actually learned. They don't become proud of that. So there should be a thorough training before Brahminical initiation is awarded. That's Gurukul is required for this. Varnashram College, Vaishnav Theological College. Srila Prabhupada was very serious about establishing a Vaishnava Theological College in Berkeley in California and all over the world. So there should be very thorough training. But at least for the time being, we're giving Brahminical initiation as recognition to those who have seriously taken to the service of Krishna. They're giving their life in the service of Krishna. One shouldn't take this Brahminical initiation and become this Rakshasa Kalimashritya. taking advantage of Kali Yuga, Jayante Brahma Yonishu. Not that kind of Brahmana. But actually setting an example for others, how one should be fully dedicated in the service of Krishna, and one should be fit to be a spiritual leader. One can be fit to be a spiritual leader by service attitude, because spiritual life is service, transcendental service, adhokshaje, bhaktir adhokshaje, transcendent service to the transcendent Lord. The non-devotees, they have the idea that spiritual life means that you make yourself great. You become great. You realize that I am Brahmasmi Aham. I am Brahma. Brahma means great. But the Vaishnavas understand that, yes, I'm Brahma, but there's Param Brahma, Krishna. I'm meant for serving him. That's all. And become very humble. So a real Brahmana should be very humble. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's a pushover. He's a very weak-minded person. No, Brahmana is very strong-minded, because his mind is fixed in Krishna, who's the strongest, and he has to resist Maya. So Brahmana is very strong-minded. He can do anything for Krishna's service. But at the same time, he considers himself very humble and meek. Now, this Brahminical class has fallen down. Coming down by birth, it's all falling down, broken down. As I mentioned earlier this morning, at least in the present generation, probably most, means more than 50%, of persons born in Brahmana families, then, I mean, no one's following anything, but specifically what Brahmanas are not at all expected to do. They're eating meat, they're taking alcohol, and definitely most of them are taking garlic and onions. That wasn't there even till a short time ago. There's the, in Vrindavan, I'm talking about Vrindavan Uttar Pradesh, not Vrindavan Golok Dham. Vrindavan as seen in terms of secular understanding. There are various bazaars in the town, just like here you have, I was mentioning Begum Bazaar this morning and Abid's, and there are so many. So in Vrindavan there's Anaj Mandi, Gopinath Bazaar, Loi Bazaar is the most famous. So Gopinath Bazaar is a Brahmin's area, and until about 20 years ago there was no garlic or onions on sale. Then it came. Now it's a must. There's no garlic and onions on sale means no one's going to buy it. So they're going elsewhere to buy it. So they'll bring it there. So it's broken down. Brahminical culture is in the families as it was coming down, is broken down. So it's required to have a class of genuine Brahmanas who know Shastra and who know the purport of Shastra and do not twist the purport of Shastra. Now there's one so-called born in Brahmin family writing his own version of Ramayana, which has become very popular with these foolish English educated modern class of Indians. What's his name? Tiwari? Trivedi? Something like that? Tripathi. Yeah. Three times nonsense. Tripathi. He never studied the Vedas even once. And they're called Tripathi, must be. Making up their own. It is all nonsense. Real Brahmana means Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. One who knows Shastra, one who knows the Absolute Truth. So Srila Prabhupada, he taught that Absolute Truth. And he had the tremendous courage to initiate people in the Western countries as Brahmanas, even knowing that they don't have that culture, they don't have that knowledge. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, actually one of his dearest disciples in the Western countries, Srila Prabhupada was trying to teach him pronunciation of the Gayatri mantras. And eventually, when he was trying to teach him, he just gave up and just started laughing because he just couldn't do it. And who was that? Jayananda, who is Srila Prabhupada recognized as a great Vaishnava saint and said his disappearance day should be celebrated, just like we celebrate the disappearance days of other great Vaishnavas. So he pleased Srila Prabhupada by his unalloyed service attitude, his complete surrender to Srila Prabhupada. So he was a brahmana. Srila Prabhupada made him a brahmana, even though he didn't know how to pronounce Sanskrit at all. It was very bold of Srila Prabhupada to bring Westerners to India. And people were saying, no, they're not Brahmins. If we're going to accept them as Hindus, there was some discussion in the newspapers, in the correspondence section, when Srila Prabhupada first brought a group of Western devotees, that if we're going to accept them as Hindus, then we have to put them in some caste. And this Gopal Das has said that previously I was doing work as a laborer or something like that. So we'll put them in the Shudra caste. And Prabhupada said, no, you don't understand. Now they are Vaishnavas. If at all you have to put them any material category, you have to say Brahmana. So that was very much resisted at that time. Very much disliked by many people. How can you make them Brahmanas? And even Indian, you see, we're bringing people from tribal backgrounds and making them Brahmanas. Maybe from some Singh family or Gupta family, but tribal families? How can you make them into Brahmanas? They're completely backward. No. If they're chanting Hare Krishna, they are Ahobata Swapachatogari Anyajivagre Vartate Namatubyam Tapas Tapaste Juhuvu Sasta Arya Brahmanucha Namagrinantiyate. If they're chanting Hare Krishna, then that means even they're born in some so called low family, they've already been through everything, all the Vedic rituals, they've bathed in all the holy places, they've done all the penances, they're perfect Brahmanas. Because they have this realization to chant the holy names of Krishna. So that should be established. This is a Brahmana, perfect person. Who is a perfect person means his life is dedicated to Krishna. So those who are taking this Brahminical initiation, they should do so with this understanding that we have to represent. Now, anyway, we're supposed to represent our parampara, but this is the sign that one is authorized as a preacher and a teacher. Initiation, that what we call first initiation, is recognized. Yes, you're recognized, you're accepted to practice devotional service. Brahmana means accepted as a preacher, as a teacher, as a worshipper of the deity. So they should factually embody these qualities, as did Prahlad Maharaj. Here it's stated, the first qualification is given, Brahmanya Shila Sampana. He was born in a demoniac family. He was decorated with all, naturally decorated with all the qualities of a genuine Brahmana. And then the last quality that's given is Stambha Vivarjita. He's free from impudence. He's not proud. He's not puffed up. So if someone gets Brahman initiation and then they say, oh, now I'm Brahman, now I'm better than everyone else, then he's just as... What is he? He didn't understand at all. He may have Bhakti Shastri degree, and may have... Didn't understand. Why we're making them Brahmana? So, this Brahminical initiation is some recognition, is there? That they are dedicated in the service of Krishna and have developed some qualities of a preacher and teacher. It may be that someone, they may go through the whole life without this Brahminical initiation. It doesn't mean they're blocked from going back to Godhead. They may clean the floor for Krishna all their life. Who's advanced enough to do that? Everyone would like to sit on a big seat and give a big lecture and be seen offering the main aarti in a big festival. Everyone likes that. But who's going to quietly clean the floor all their life and be satisfied to do that? They may not be given Brahminical initiation because of the nature of their service. But if they're actually so humble and submissive and unambitious that they do so, they may be a great devotee. And of course, it's not necessarily. Maybe they're also cleaning the floor all their life and they're thinking, well, at least I get my food and shelter. So they may be doing like that also. It may be that it's some kind of way. Yeah, I get it. I have a place to stay and I get my food and I clean the floor and this way I'm passing my life. They may not have a very developed service attitude. But if one is humbly doing so, in many ways it's better to be a humble. Srila Prabhupada said that, actually, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Better than showing, being a big Brahmin and showing the deity to make income. You call people, come to the temple, take Charanamrita. Then they'll be obliged, they have to give some money. This way one makes a living by showing the deity. Better than doing that is to be a street sweeper and earn one's living honestly. Better be street sweeper is considered not the lowest, but pretty low. There's lower still, but it's pretty low to be a street sweeper in Indian caste-ridden society. And Brahmana, that's considered very high. Actually, no one respects Brahmanas, but superficially they do. They call them and, okay, come, do a yajna, okay, take your money, okay, go. So no one actually respects, but there's some superficial respect. But if one takes the role of a Brahmana simply to show the deity and to make one's income, then better do you honestly earn the living as a street sweeper. So if one takes the position of a Brahmana or a spiritual leader for one's own name, fame, glory, income, labh, puja, pratishta, don't use Srila Prabhupada's gifts to exploit others, make your career. Don't make yourself, try to promote yourself, I'm very big. Just realize, we're all very small. Prahlad Maharaj is being described here. Mahabhagavato Mahan, elsewhere his description. He's great among greats, among devotees. Devotees are great. Among great devotees, he's great. So today we're celebrating Sri Krishna, Janmashtami. Tomorrow we celebrate Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. You understand? He is great, and he wants to make us great. But this worldly greatness of promoting oneself as a great personality, this is all nonsense. It's got absolutely nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Even if, in the name of Krishna consciousness, one tries to promote oneself. So this Brahminical initiation is not for showing I'm better than others. It should not be misunderstood. Nor should those who are not being given Brahminical initiation think, my guru, why doesn't he recognize me? What's wrong with me? I'm also qualified. I'm most qualified. Why are they being given, not me? I remember at the first deity installation of deities by ISKCON in Bangladesh, that Jaipur Maharaj was giving Brahminical initiation. And he said to one, at the time he was a young boy, he said, actually you're not qualified. He immediately said, I'm qualified. He was, because they needed for worshipping the deities. Tumi upajogi na. I'm upajogi. I'm qualified. That's his disqualification. As soon as one thinks I'm qualified, one is disqualified. So don't misuse it. And don't think, my guru doesn't like, oh, what's wrong? Oh, Bhaktivikasa Swami doesn't give Brahminical initiation much. Better go to another guru, then I can get Brahminical. Then I'll be a Brahmin. Then others will recognize me. This is rubbish. Then you hear, I was saying this, listen. Now you're translating there in Hindi. Do we have these Hindi speakers, these things here? Do we have them? At least they can, if you understand Hindi, get that and listen. There are 1,400 lectures there in Hindi. I've been asking to get them, but everyone's busy, I guess. You have stock? Yeah, so all of you here who understand Hindi, who are initiated or about to be initiated or aspiring for initiation, get that and listen what I have to say. I'm not giving out initiation here as some kind of ritual. You should hear with faith that what is being said is best for you. So, qualities of a brahmana, shamo damat tapasho cham. First of all, a brahmana should be peaceful and self-controlled. Pacify, keep a peaceful mind and senses. Peaceful means what? Just sit down and meditate all day? 15 hours sleeping, 2 hours for eating, and the rest of the time meditating, which is mostly snoring also. What does that mean? That's a very peaceful life, isn't it? I don't do anything. A Vaishnava is active, but peaceful. Why peaceful? Krishna bhakta nishkam ataiv shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. Everyone in this world has some desire. The karmis, they want to enjoy this material world. The jnanis, they want to get out of this material world. And the yogis, they want to develop these siddhis. If you develop siddhi, you can make this go back and forward without having to wiggle your arm. You like to do that? Become a yogi, or you can manifest some servants to do it for you. If you're a successful yogi, you can manifest. Vishwamitra manifested a whole universe. Quite a yogi. But they all have some desire. But Krishna Bhakta has no material desire. And not even the spiritual desire, you could say semi-spiritual desire to merge into impersonal Brahma. Only desires to serve Krishna. So he's peaceful. Peaceful in the sense, whatever's in this material world doesn't become disturbed, nor desirous. Lack of peacefulness comes from desire. I want this, I don't want that. But peaceful. Okay. Whatever happens in this world, we have to go on serving Krishna. So how can you do that? Often people ask, well, how can you peaceful, self-controlled, shamo dama tapa? How can one have any austerity? Who wants to be austere? If we go on the street, they go around the TV crews with a microphone and they stop people in the street. Would you like to be austere? Austere? What does that mean? I have no idea. No one wants. But that is required for spiritual advancement. Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudhyad yasmad brahma sokyam tvanamta. If we're to attain spiritual happiness, we have to undertake divine austerities. How can we do that? By engaging in spiritual activities. Spiritual activities means serving Krishna. The mind and the senses require some engagement. The mind is always active. Even when we're asleep, the mind is going on. That manifests as dreams. Just like I was saying this morning, the businessman, when he wakes up in the middle of the night, immediately starts thinking of his business. He's completely absorbed. That means the mind is active. So, the mind and the senses require some engagement. So we can engage them in serving Krishna. If we don't engage this mind and senses in Krishna, and service to Krishna, then they'll be engaged materially. Bhautik chintanme. They'll be engaged. Yeah, the mind will be engaged in material thoughts, and then the senses follow the mind. They'll be engaged in material activities. So if we engage in spiritual thoughts, how can I satisfy Krishna? Krishna te kila cheshta. How Krishna will be satisfied with me. Let me work for Krishna. Then automatically the senses become engaged. By indriya, that's translated as senses. But the term indriya, the Sanskrit term, encompasses more than the English word senses. That's only half. There are the gyanendriyas, the experiencing senses. So there's a sense of touch, taste, smell, feeling, and smelling. And the corresponding senses are there. The skin for touching, the tongue for tasting, the nose for smelling, the eyes for seeing, and the ears for hearing. So these are the gyanendriyas, but they're also the karma, what are called the karmendriyas, the senses for acting, the legs for walking, the hands for grasping, the tongue for talking. So the tongue is gyanendriya and karmendriya. Then the genitals for procreating, and the anus for defecating. So these are the karmendriyas. They have to be engaged. So we can engage them for Krishna. And then automatically, the mind and the senses will become peaceful. As long as we try to enjoy the mind and senses, then we remain unpeaceful. As soon as we engage in Krishna's service, prashanta, this is a common word here. That's connected with this nonsense so-called baba down in it. But that's an ancient Sanskrit term. Prashanta, nishesha, manoratantara. When this Yamuna Acharya says, when I engage in your service, kadahamai kantika nitya kinkara. When will I engage in your service? Praharshiyashami sanati jivita. Then I'll be fully satisfied, fully peaceful by engaging in your service. He's praying to Narayana. So this whole idea to try to control the mind, the yogis do it, the gyanis and yogis, they attempt to do so in a very, very difficult to try to control the mind and senses. But the devotees do so automatically by engaging in Krishna's service. They're always thinking, how, what shall I do? We have to, just like for instance, you may be thinking, now we have to order a bottle of gas because the gas is running out for our cooking. So materialists in their home, they're also doing that. And in the ashram, they're also doing that. In the home, it's mundane. In the mundane home where people are simply thinking how to live for the sense gratification. And in the ashram where we're doing it for Krishna, it's the same thought. Okay, phone the gaswala and then they'll deliver the gas and then you pay with GST now, I presume. And then it's the same thought, the same in the mind, it's the same thought is going on. The householder is thinking, oh, now I have to see gas, I have to order gas. And in the ashram, the brahmachari is thinking, oh, I have to order gas. It's the same thought process, it's the same activity, it's the same number called, it's the same people come who deliver the gas. The difference is, one is doing in the back of the mind, they're thinking, Krishna. We're doing all this for Krishna. Their life is dedicated to Krishna. And in the mind of the materialist, they know what they're doing. They never think about what the purpose of their life is. But it's just surviving so that we can try to enjoy. They don't even think we're trying to enjoy this material world. Just like animals. Animals don't have any philosophy to think. Yes, I'm enjoying this material world. They don't think material world, enjoying. They have no such idea. They have no philosophical thought. They see food and they take the food. The dog sees the bitch in the heat and jumps on her. And there'll be other dogs surrounding the bitch and they're all fighting who can jump on the bitch. They have no philosophy. They just engage in sense gratification. And human beings also, most people, they don't think. They just, yes, we have, but their life is more complicated. Their life, to get sense gratification, they have to work, earn money, call the gaswala, so many things, so many arrangements they have to do. So sometimes people say, I don't believe in the next life a human can become a dog. They can become a dog, that'll be better for them. They want sense gratification, they have to work hard, in anxiety, maybe I'll lose my job, do I have enough money, have to pay the gaswala and the electricity bill and so many headaches, commit suicide. You don't see dogs committing suicide. They're very peaceful and happy. They're not brahmanas. Brahmana is peaceful and happy. The dog is also peaceful and happy. He's not a brahmana. He's getting his sense gratification without any anxiety. But his peacefulness and happiness is on the dog platform. So a human, if he's just living his life for indriya arama, for the sake of mokha, what is that? Mokha, indriya arama. He's living his life uselessly for sense enjoyment. Then better he becomes a dog in his next life. Then he can enjoy very nicely. No headache, no pain bills, no danger of gas exploding or gas bottle getting stolen or any such thing. He's quite content and happy, but in dog consciousness. That's the imitation, or the dog perceives he's happy, but he's simply suffering. So, brahmana keeps the mind under control. He knows that the unbridled mind is the cause of all distress. That's exactly the right term, the unbridled, because bridle means that, well, that goes with the reins of the horse, that That's the paraphernalia for riding a horse. So the reins of the horse. That example is given in the Upanishads. The uncontrolled mind and senses, that means the chariot is out of control. Then disaster. So Brahmana knows we have to control the mind and senses. And the Vaishnava does so by serving Krishna. Brahmana is very, doesn't let his mind wander to sense gratification. Very, very dangerous. And so it's very good to be busy in Krishna's service. If you're always busy in Krishna's service, then there's no opportunity for thinking of sense gratification. The mind can be the udharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayat. The mind, we can either be elevated by the mind or degraded by the mind. The mind is gathering information from the gyanendriyas by touching, tasting, looking and seeing, and then sending, then processing. Okay, do I want to see this? Yes. Do I want to see that? No. And all the time, sankalpa, vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. This is something I like to see, yes. Like to see that? No. Do I want to go see that movie? No. Do I want to go see that movie? Yes. So, do I want to taste this food? Do I want to taste this? No, I don't like that kind of food. Do I like this kind of food? Yes. So all the time, sankalpa, vikalpa. Shall I accept or not? It's the mind is like that, gathering information from the environment and then deciding to should I do this for my in sense gratification or not? So in this way, the karmendriyas give information, and the mind processes, should we pursue that so we can enjoy the senses? The gyanendriyas gather information. So on this platform, one is stuck in material existence. The mind gathers information, sends it to the intelligence. Intelligence decides. Generally, the intelligence is dead in materialistic people. So they're just on the, at best, the mental platform. They have no intelligence to think what is actually best for me. They have in the intelligence just is stuck on the idea, let me enjoy this world, and doesn't develop beyond that. So there's no check on the desire for sense gratification, because they have no idea that we should be free from sense gratification. They think sense gratification is very good. This is called distorted intelligence. When the intelligence is distorted, then the mind has got full scope to search for sensual enjoyment without considering the consequences. By intelligence, one should consider the consequences. Just like you're saying, the dog wants to jump on the bitch. A human male may see some female and just want to grab her. But you don't do that because you think of the consequences. I'll get arrested. I'll get put in prison. I'll have a bad reputation. So he considers the consequences. He's more developed than the animal in that sense. Brahmana means he controls the mind and senses with the intelligence understanding what is the ultimate need for ourselves. We should know that to engage the mind and senses on the material platform is simply going to degrade us. So let us engage the mind and senses in serving Krishna. That means a Brahmana's life is automatically austere. Why is that? Because he knows that enjoyment, this sensual enjoyment, is the cause of all suffering. Yehi sangsparshita bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyandavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Because the Brahmin is intelligent. He doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are all sources of misery are the engagement of the senses with the sense objects, which simply leads to suffering. So for Brahmana, austerity comes naturally. It's not that, just like you'll find in the Hindu religion, people may perform some time-bound austerity. They may do this, 40 days ayapa vrata, in which they don't take meat for 40 days, and they're supposed not to have sex, although all the ayapa places are full of prostitutes. So, I know how strictly they're following. So there's the idea, or you fast on Tuesday for Hanuman, or something like that. Something like this. Is it Tuesday for Hanuman? Yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay. Got that right. I know some things about Hinduism. I'm not that much interested. But naturally, you get to know some things. And then, what's the idea? You fast for one day, and then you get strength from Hanuman to enjoy the senses more and more. Hanuman's so strong. But he used his senses for serving Rama, not for sense gratification. He was alone with Sita. But he wasn't thinking like Ravana, how can I exploit her? He was simply thinking how I can serve her. So that's the difference between a Brahmana and a Rakshasa. A Rakshasa wants to enjoy this material world, and he may do some austerities. How did Ravana, not only Ravana, but all these Rakshasa, they're so powerful. Hiranyakashipu, they're all very powerful. By performing austerities, but their austerities are simply to facilitate their enhanced opportunities for sense gratification. But a Brahmana is austere because he knows that sense, I'm not going to engage in sense gratification. His consciousness is higher, doesn't want sense gratification. Those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, that these young American boys and girls, they don't go to the cinema. They have no interest in that. Just as in, they're not watching television. Why? They have no interest. Rasavajang Rasopi has a parangdrishma nivartita. They're getting a higher taste. Everyone wants to enjoy. It's a natural propensity. But they're enjoying on a higher level. They don't stoop down to this low-level enjoyment, which is offered by the modern society. Very low-level. You see, these big cities, people think that, we can come to the big city and then we can go to the meat restaurant, drink some alcohol. It's horrible thing. It's very low-class. Brahmana is not interested in that. Real Brahmana. It's automatically austere. So, for this reason, that's one reason. My Brahmanas, real Brahmana doesn't work for any Kripana Durajana. He doesn't work for any miserly rascal. He's not an employee. Works for Krishna. Serves Krishna. He's not taking a salary. I'm Brahmana, do puja in the morning, and then I go off to the office. That's not a real Brahmana. Real Brahmana means he'll never work for anyone except Krishna. Depends on Krishna to maintain. Because as soon as one becomes employed, then he has to fulfill the demands of the employer. The employer is not Krishna, not Krishna conscious. Then one becomes implicated in this sinful world. And someone saying, no, I'm doing a good job, clean job. I'm working in a bank. You see, there's not slaughterhouse or brothel or casino. Who's
financing the brothels and the slaughterhouses and the casinos and the mafia, the banks. Or it may think, well, I'm working in an IT company and it's clean. But the computers are being used for running on this demoniac society. So, Brahmana, he's not a servant of anyone except Krishna, Guru and Krishna, and Vaishnavas, Hari Guru Vaishnava. Doesn't become a servant of sinful people. Brahmana should be completely sinless. So he doesn't accept employment from anyone, and especially not from sinful people. Otherwise one becomes manipulated by them, one becomes obliged to perform sinful acts. One's working in a company, one has to tell lies, or there's all the office politics, put others down, push oneself up. So one can be a brahmana if he's content to live simply. Because he doesn't want sense gratification. He doesn't want a huge income. I'm earning so much money. Become proud of that. No, he's just whatever Krishna gives. He's content to take. He doesn't work hard to increase his material position. Nor if someone gets a material position, they like to show off. See, I'm better than you. There's some idea that our devotees, they should all get big positions in society. And then people will listen to them when they preach, because people are impressed by big positions. Oh, I'm earning 2 lakhs a month. I have a big business. But more impressive is if you have all the possibility, but then say, no, I'm not interested. I could be earning 5 lakhs, 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs a month. Let someone else earn. Let me work for Krishna. Let me serve Krishna. We don't need all your allurements. Come work in our company. We'll pay you so much money. No, we'll give you 2 lakhs a month. No. We'll give you 5 lakhs. No. I'll sleep on the floor on a mat and take whatever little prasadam is there and work hard all day for Krishna. They think, oh, he's become crazy. He could earn so much money. No. We've got something better. Serving Krishna. There's nothing that can be bought with all the money in the world that can match or even come anywhere close to the happiness that a devotee gets from offering fruit, flower, leaf and water to Krishna. Just see the narrations of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are so many narrations. Then most of them are not exciting, like Ramayana or Mahabharata. They have so many. Nowadays there are so many exciting stories, movies, war stories, love stories. Chaitanya Charitamrita is something very simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the temple, he faints. So what? It might have been a hot day. He fainted. Oh, he dances for many hours. Then he becomes tired, becomes so tired, he falls down, he goes to sleep, but he can't, he's so tired he can't move his body, so Govinda has to come by crossing his body. Doesn't sound like a script for a blockbuster movie. What happiness. Who's going to go and watch a movie of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? Dancing. Oh, just some dancing. Oh, okay. I'll come back later. So you come back. Come back later. He's still dancing. Come back later. Come back 1 hour later. He's still dancing. Come back 4 hours later. He's still. He goes on and on and on dancing. Okay, well, in the Bollywood movies, they have dances. Much better dance. All choreographed. Nice, pretty girls also. We don't have that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance. It's just all wild, falling on the floor. And it goes on for 4 hours. And it's the same song. I mean, at least in Bollywood movies, they have different songs. But it's the same song. And I can't even think of any other song. There's nothing in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to attract materialistic people. Devotees, they can appreciate. But bhakta etad vigyaya, devotees, they can understand what is the actual spiritual bliss. Non-devotees, they can't find any interest in this. So Brahmana is austere because he sees everything in the material world. All together, nothing. Devotees are shunyavadis. They realize the whole material world is nothing. But I mean, shunya means they see the material world as nothing, not they see the absolute truth as nothing. That's everything. Mama sarvasvam. My all in all is Govinda. Everything for me. Sarvasva. You say that word in Hindi? You understand? That's just everything for me. That's all. Nothing else. So a devotee, he's austere. Not that he's eating very simply and saying, oh, I'd really like to go to the restaurant and get special thali. He's not thinking. Krishna gives, all right, let me take whatever prasad is there. Satisfied to live simply. Not his austerity, not that he's sitting on thorns or a bed of nails, not useless, meaningless austerity, but just living very simply for the sake of serving Krishna and not getting mixed up in this economic struggle, how to get ahead in the world, how to get special privileges for oneself, detached from all of that. Just lives very simply. Then his time is free to serve Krishna. If one is interested in earning more and more money, then he has to dedicate himself for that. His thoughts go toward that. His anxiety is there. How I earn more money, not lose my job, and so on. And so his valuable intelligence, which he's got in the human form of life, that is simply spoiled. Think, even most of our devotees nowadays, they're initiated, but most of their energy, most of their time, most of their thought is simply about their work and how to maintain their position in society, and then little time they get for chanting Hare Krishna. But a devotee is supposed to be satatam kirtayantam, always glorifying Krishna. So rewarding Brahminical initiation at least to those who have extracted themselves from this crushing, soul-killing society and who are fully engaged in the service of Krishna. There are so many examples. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of Chanakya Pandit. Practically, he controlled the whole great empire. He was the chief minister and the king that Chandragupta, whatever he said, he would follow. He has good faith. But he himself, Chanakya, he lived in a very simple hut. He didn't accept anything. Why? He didn't want to be corrupted. He had all the power to, he can, by anyone's order, he can say, this person should be hanged immediately. They'll take him and hang him. He could have become very rich, but he didn't. He remained aloof. Why? Then he can give proper advice. One cannot give proper advice to a person for their benefit if one is thinking what benefit I can get from them. That is the problem of a materialistic so-called guru. They want something from the disciple. The guru should be in a position he only has to give. Not that he's trying to get something. Only has to give. Then he can give. If he doesn't want anything, if he's thinking, oh, this disciple is very rich, so let me flatter him, he'll give me lots of money, then I can live very comfortably. And I have plenty of money in my bank account, so that when they find out that every night I'm going to a prostitute and they throw me out as a guru, I'll have so much money in my bank account and I'll be able to go on the rest of my life comfortably. It'll all be legally in my name. One who's actually on the spiritual platform, he has nothing to take from anyone in this world. Does it, because he's fully satisfied to serve Krishna. So he can instruct them for their benefit. He's not thinking, you do this, you'll be benefited and I'll get benefited. So like Shukracharya. He didn't want Bali to surrender everything to Vishnu. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dadva Muho Vartishyate Kvacha. If you give everything to Vishnu, you fool, he said to Bali, then how will you maintain yourself? He's also thinking, how are you going to maintain me also? He didn't say that, but he was thinking like that. So he couldn't advise him properly. He should have advised. Oh, it's Vishnu. And he wants you, he's asked you to give charity. Oh, very good. You should immediately give everything. Some will say, no, don't give. You have to think of yourself. How can you give to Vishnu? You give a little bit. You can give something. That's all right, but don't give everything. So we'll find so many Shukracharyas. They'll say, yes, you do bhakti. You do, but you have to think of yourself also. Be practical. Vyavaharikas. We speak in Hindi. You know the word. We want this Hinglish. Actually, in our farm communities, we want to make Shuddh Hindi. I just wrote it down this morning. No more of this Hinglish and Urdu mix. Then they can go on to... then it'll be easy to learn Sanskrit. That's what Prabhupada... You know, Prabhupada said that. You know that? You don't know that. It's Independence Day today. So there was a big discussion at that time. Now I'm going off the subject a bit. That what should be the national language. And there are two main candidates, Hindi and Sanskrit. And by default, actually, it's become English. Not officially, but practically. Yeah. Rashtra Bhasha Ingrezi. The national language of India is English. Hey, that's Hinglish. Just speak in English and put hey at the end. That's all. Then you have to leave out is. But it's Indian English, so it doesn't matter if your grammar's all wrong. So Prabhupada said it should be made Sanskrit. And he gave a practical, vyavaharik is the word, suggestion how that could be done, that the local languages, like Hindi, Telugu, and how many official languages are there? 13 or something in India? 20. 14. No one knows for sure. Look on the rupee note. It should be 14. 14 official languages. And there are so many more. So Prabhupada said they should be promulgated. They're spoken in the pure form. That means the Sanskritized form. So instead of saying lekin, you say kintu or parantu, like that. Instead of saying practical, you say vyavaharik, like that. And then people will get in the habit, they'll get a taste for that, and then it'll be easy to introduce Sanskrit speaking. So that was Srila Prabhupada's suggestion. And actually, I'm saying we need to raise the bar for Brahminical initiation. Brahmana means they have to know Sanskrit, actually. I'm saying, if we're talking about Varnashram Brahmanas, you have to know Sanskrit. Because you have to know the Vedas, and it's Veda Partet Bhavet Vipra. You can learn to recite at least one Veda, then you can be called a Vipra. But actually one should understand, which means that one should learn the Vedangas, beginning with Vyakaranam, grammar, so one has to understand the language. And unless you understand Sanskrit, you're actually Mlecha. You've heard the term Mlecha Bhasha, the languages of the savages and barbarians. Mlecha Bhasha means everything except Sanskrit, including Hindi and Telugu. So, this should be brought in. So if one's proud, I'm born in Brahmin family. Actually, they're all living like mlechas, at best Shudras. So this culture should be brought in. Then otherwise, how can we go deeply into Shastra? That Sanskrit knowledge is required. In Gurukul, Srila Prabhupada said, actually the thing he said most important is to get Krishna Bhakti. Taste for Krishna now. Then Srila Prabhupada said character is required. Discipline. And for practical, what are you going to actually teach them? What subjects? Prabhupada said Sanskrit and English. These two subjects. They're enough. So Sanskrit, he wanted Sanskrit. And English, why? For studying Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, if you study Sanskrit and become a big scholar, and you don't understand the actual purpose of the Shastra, which you'll get from Prabhupada's books, then that's also useless. So, there are so many examples in history of people who are very naturally austere brahmanas. They're very intelligent. But they use that intelligence for serving the absolute truth and serving society by giving knowledge, not for sense gratification. Chanakya Pandit, he could have asked, give me a good salary so I can live comfortably. I'm giving all advice to you, the king, so you can live in a big palace. So why don't you give me a big palace? But as soon as the king wanted to give him all these, he left immediately, finished. We're not interested in all these. He doesn't want to be. Then he can't give proper advice. If one is taking money or if one is interested in money from others, then he can't give proper advice. If he thinks, oh, this disciple is giving me so much money, so I shouldn't tell them to reform themselves. Then it's a kind of bribery. You bribe the government officials, you bribe the guru. You take this money, you pose in the photo with me so people see, oh, this businessman, he's posing with a big swami. Oh, he must be a good man. He won't cheat me. Then you cheat them because they trust you because you're in the photo with the swami. And you bribe the swami to have a photo by giving so much money. So this cheating comes into so-called spiritual life also. You show yourself to have a big guru so you can cheat others. You say, oh, what he's doing must be good because he's a disciple of this guru. And the guru is good. So it's all a big cartel, like a big mafia. How to cheat others in a very sophisticated way. But a brahmana is aloof. Doesn't not cheat. He's not manipulated by others. Someone will come with a religious book in one hand and a sword in the other. You take one, okay, we'll take the sword. We're not going to be compromised by threats, nor by corruption, bribery. Of course, sometimes, they may go along with that. Like Rupan Sanatan became the ministers of the demoniac Nawab Hussein Shah. Even Narad Muni would offer praise to Hiranyakashipu. They know it. It's just a short time. But not that they spend their whole life like that. So there's some thoughts about this. We're giving Brahminical initiation today. If one is austere and is studying Shastra, then living a regulated life, then the intelligence becomes very clear and sharp, as is required for a Brahmana. But if one is thinking of sense gratification, then the intelligence becomes dull. The intelligence for enjoying sense gratification might become sharp. The intelligence for cheating others might become sharp. But the intelligence, real intelligence, to distinguish sat from asat, what is proper and what is improper, that will be lost. So one cannot be a brahmana and an enjoyer of this material world at the same time. One has to be detached, have clear intelligence to understand what is to be done, what is not to be done. Therefore he's able to advise others, and he's very clear and strong on the path of Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna. So now we'll... go ahead with the initiations. I just spoken about Brahminical initiation. This morning I spoke on the general understanding of initiation for those who are being initiated with Harinam. Those of you who are being initiated today and who are not present for this morning's lecture, then you should get a copy of that lecture and listen to it. And Prabhupada's lectures, those who are initiated, they should all, those who are householders at least, should all get this. You can get all of Prabhupada's lectures in English on some external hard disk. Pendrive. And there are a few Hindi lectures available. So if you don't understand English and you understand Hindi, there are those few, there are about 50 or something Hindi lectures available. Get them and listen to them. This much we should use modern technology. And those who understand English, you get that pen drive. That's available, right? That you should get. Hindi's available here. And then again, my lectures you can get on a pen drive in Hindi. There are 1,400 plus available. And in English should be becoming available fairly soon. So get them and hear them. Hear every day. Shravana Kirtana Karo Anukhan Asata Pachalachari. Go on all the time, hearing and chanting. Give up all this materialistic gossip. Okay. So, yeah, we'll go ahead with the initiations now.